Simba and Mufasa take Hollywood, Hurt Bay breaks the internet, and we have actor Melvin Jackson Jr. in the hot seat. All this and more coming up next.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live next.
Oh, this was only fitting for our show tonight. I mean, we're going to slow it down. Take it. You got to take it away. This is your pick.
Yeah. I can't sing.
Yes, you can.
That's not possible.
Okay.
Tell me, can you weather the storm?
Go ahead, Raylan.
Get it.
Because I need somebody who will stand by me.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah.
I'm waiting for this part that I know.
It's okay. We call Raina musically.
Lou James, where you at, Lou James?
I know. I'm musically. Where's Khalil?
Khalil, I know. Yeah. We miss you, Khalil.
I'm the musically challenged one. Like, every time we learn about a new song, it's like news to me.
It's okay.
But it's okay. But I knew about New Edition. Trust me. I
okay.
Did.
That's all that matters.
That's all that matters. What's up, guys? Ooh. Welcome to another Thursday night special with your rays of sunshine here. I'm your
I like
host,
that.
Raina Ale. And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Raina_Ale. And my lovely co-host.
I am Raylan T. You can find me everywhere at Raylan Taren on Instagram and Twitter. And we have a very special guest here. Melvin Jackson Jr.
Hey!
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Yes.
Tell everyone where can we find you.
You can find me at Melvin Jackson Jr. Everything, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. It's the brand, Melvin Jackson
Ooh.
Jr.
It's the brand.
Brand yourself. Like Pepsi and Coca-Cola. It's the brand.
I love it.
Guys, remember to follow all things Black Hollywood Live at BHL Online on Instagram and Twitter. Remember to like, share, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and comment. We love to talk to you guys, so make sure you spread the word. Melvin, welcome to the show.
Yeah.
So let's just go ahead and go right into it. You guys have probably seen Melvin recently on the New Edition Star. He played the infamous Curtis Blow, which was amazing.
Curtis Blow, and I
want you to know that these are the brains. Hey. Bring it up.
Hey. I had to.
What was it like playing Curtis Blow?
It was amazing. One, it was kind of like I had to keep pinching myself to, like, is it really happening? Am I in the New Edition movie that was one of my favorite groups of all times? And then I'm playing the legendary Curtis Blow. Like, it was just like, you get two in one. You get that apple pie and you get ice cream on top. I was like, yes. So I'm just definitely blessed and honored to be a part of the project. And man, those guys, the groups, they did an amazing job. The young kids to the young guys, everybody killed it in the movie.
My favorite line was like when the young New Edition was like, oh, Curtis Blow, like, we love you. Who y'all supposed to be?
Exactly.
Nation of Islam. So I was like, damn!
Yeah, they crushed it. I was like, man.
They crushed the dreams of the young New Edition.
People
it's
okay. were mad at me. They're like, man, you did that, but why you had to be so mean to the kids? I said, that's acting. You couldn't see me in that moment. I was being the character.
That was being the character. That's all about acting.
Yeah, because Melvin loved the kids.
Yes, Melvin loved the kids.
So talk about your success after the New Edition movie. I mean, it's been all over the media since it came out.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was great.
So many views. It was just a great movie. How was your success after that?
It's funny because a lot of people that don't know me don't recognize me from it. Some will, but some most don't because they're like, man, you went, because I was had the, you know, the hair,
yeah.
the wig, and so they was like, one person, I was like, I played Curtis Blow. Like, no, you didn't. I'm like, oh, yeah, you did. Like, they didn't know. So it's one of those things. It's like people not really recognizing me that don't know me. And then some people that do know me didn't know that was me. And I was like, you know me for years and you didn't know that was me. So it's been interesting, though. But the love has been great. And I'm just honored to be a part of it. And 29 million viewers and more. Like,
awesome.
We just showed it again. They had a marathon. So it definitely broke expectation. And I'm glad because people needed to tell the story needed to be told. And I'm glad that people came to and watched it and heard about it, where it's like, okay, I gotta watch it now. Mm-hmm. Because you're like the last person on earth that haven't seen it. So
I know that BET recently, or not recently, but they've been trying to have new shows,
right.
And you know, get people to watch and view BET, because after I feel 106 and Park went off, you know, they lost a lot of viewers.
Yeah.
Do you think that BET should maybe have this as their brand, doing biopics of, like, big, you know, groups or musicians in the Black community?
I think so. I think it's definitely, they came to it. I mean, they really put in the work and they put the money behind it. And a lot of people were falling, like I said, falling off of BET. They like, well, mm-hmm. I'm just done with BET. But when they saw this, they like, you know, I'm a fan again because they did it right. And I, you know, Jesse Collins, you definitely have to take my hats off to him because he was the one who spearheaded the whole thing, like back in 05, saying, let's do this. And then it went to different, you know, other studios and then it came back in BET, like, let's do this. Let's make this happen. Let's do what we have to do. So I think this show, like, BET is on another level now. They're not, you know, BET, but no, it's like BET did it right, and the numbers show that people across America supported it, and now they're doing like Nas biopic. They're turning it into a TV series, and I just think it's going to open up more doors. I think Run DMC's biopic should be told, as well as Curtis Blow, LL Cool J, so many other people.
Yeah, I was even thinking Boyz II Men after seeing how they, you know, got their start from the New Edition movie. So,
I can tell you who needs to stop doing biopics. Lifetime.
Yeah, I think we need to just Lifetime hand the torch over to BET.
Just let them pass the baton. Like, wow. Oh, I'm sorry. But the recent one was Britney Spears. It was not very good.
Britney didn't want that to happen. It was unauthorized. So it was really bad.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Just Google it and you'll find out.
And it was so crazy. Like, even though I heard the Leah movie was bad, but people watched it just to see what was happening in the first couple of minutes. But it was like, it was interesting. Like, you want to take somebody's work and you want to make sure that you praise it and make sure that it's done right. And I think that when you're in the business to do it right, then it'll show. Because if you have seen it where it's a train wreck where it hasn't happened in a sense of things haven't been done the right way, then you should kind of stop and reassess how you're going to do it, and so that you don't make that name like, okay, we won't do Lifetime for biopics anymore.
And it's important because you're working directly with the talent. If they unauthorize you to do a biopic, how are you going to portray that person? Yes.
You can use the music.
Exactly. Like when you had to listen to Curtis, you had him to be there to show you how he was. The New Edition guys, like, same thing. They were all matched up.
And how was that, too, by the way, working or being with Curtis Blow? Did he, what pointers or anything?
Well, the thing is that I didn't get a chance to work with him before the movie. Like, I kind of just had to go off of, like, videos and interviews and stuff like that. And then afterwards, I got a chance to talk to him afterwards. But it was just still, like, I just kind of had to... Once they put me in the hair and makeup, like, I embodied him. It wasn't like I had to act like him. It was like I put me in the hair and makeup and the sideburns and the outfit, and it was like, hey, everybody called me Curtis Blow, and that's what I was. That's who I was. Mm. And that was just a beautiful thing, like, with Ricky Bell and Michael Bivins was like, what's up, Curtis Blow? That's what they knew me as, because I didn't want to be seen as Melvin Jackson Jr. in that moment. Like, just see me as a character that I'm playing so that you can really believe that it's that I'm that person.
I believed it.
I know. So let's start with your love for acting, how it all started. Yes. So you went to Boise State University. Yes. You're originally from D.C. I'm sure everybody in D.C. is proud of you to see you doing your thing. You moved to the West Coast, the best coast. You know what I'm saying? But I read that your first role was to play a criminal for America's Most Wanted.
Yeah. Well, actually, that was my first TV role.
My first
role was a PSA, which is a public service announcement. I think it was like about underage drinking. Mm-hmm. And that was the first role I've ever booked as an actor, and that was a paid gig, which as actors we know that sometimes it's not always a blessing. Your first job is not always a paying gig. But that was where I fell in love with acting, because it's like, you know, this is something I could do for a living. And so when I, you know, definitely booked the TV role, it was like, man. And so I had to tell people, like, listen, I'm not a criminal on America's Most Wanted. I was the person being bitten. I was the victim. Because people were like, I saw you on there. Wait a minute. You know, people were actually...
like, I saw you on America's Most Wanted. Yeah,
it was crazy because people were actually getting arrested, being mistaken for the person they played. And so it's just, I'm glad I didn't play the criminal. But it was definitely a great experience to be on Fox and to be on TV.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I also read that at one point in your life, you went after a role, you quit your day job, went after a role, followed your dreams, and then unfortunately the role didn't happen.
Right.
So at what point, I mean, we're all in the industry right now, we want to follow our dreams, we want to go after it. Where do you find that balance of following your dreams but also being smart?
Yeah, I mean, it's like you sometimes don't get the opportunities that, like, far as that was a situation where it's like you saw the money, they asked me to be a writer and then a producer, and then I was acting, writing, and producing on the show. So it's like, I got what is going to get three checks, and how many times you get offered where you're going to get three checks? And unfortunately, it didn't work out. The person ended up being a fraud. And so it's like when you have to take that chance, you don't want to gamble on your livelihood, because at the end of the day, you want to make sure that you're surviving. This is our art, it's our craft. Whether we're getting paid or not, we still should love it. And so we have to just be smart about it and say, okay, if I am going to leave a job, like, am I prepared to live off of whatever I saved for months or 6 months? And do I have a backup plan if this doesn't work out? And so I think the thing is just planning ahead of time to where it's like, okay, if I do leave this job, I still need to make sure I have another job to where I can, you know, will meet the needs that I need financially. And it's just about being smart. Sometimes the decision has to be made like that. Mm-hmm. So you really have to, for me, is now it's like to pray and meditate on every decision, because it's like we think, react so quickly, and now we're having to pay for it years later, and it's like you don't want to be in that position.
Definitely not.
Yep, that's awesome, because like I said, people, I guess, when they come to LA, they think Hollywood, they think they're instantly going to get a job, mm-hmm. whether it's in hosting, whether it's in acting, modeling, it's Hollywood, you're going to get it. So I think that's really awesome that you went through this and you're still, you know, kind of having something on the side to keep that consistent income flowing.
And it was the unfortunate thing was that I experienced it so far in my career. Like, I would have thought, like, something like that would have happened ahead of earlier in my career, but it happened 3 years ago. And so it was one of those things is that even no matter how long you've been in this business, sometimes we do get eager. And a lot of things didn't look the way it should have looked, and I should have knew better. So with me being so eager, because it came so easily, it was like, oh, okay. Where it was just like, for me, things don't come easy. And so everything I've had was, I earned it. I earned that too, but it was just like, it just happened so fast. Like, okay, come to audition. Oh, you got the part. Oh, it just, it wasn't the normal casting process. And so it was like, okay, this is how much you want. Okay, cool. And it was just so easy, and it was just like sometimes we get comfortable with it being easy and we fall into like, oh, let me get this because it's easy, because you know everything else has been hard, let me get and it was just like I was looking at being able to take care of my family and doing other things, and it just didn't work out.
What kept you going, or kept the motivation to still act even when you did hit those, you know, hard times?
Prayer, friends, because it was hard, because it's like, you know, I went to a part where it's like I didn't know how I was going to pay my rent. Like, I was paying my rent on credit cards and, you know, getting loans in order to pay a loan. So it was just like, these are the things that as actors and entertainers that we don't talk about, like going through these trials and tribulations. But I feel like I want to help people, and I don't want to keep what I went through to myself, because it's great when you see lights, camera, action, and you see it on TV and everything. But they're also... other side of it, we're human. We make mistakes, we go through situations, and just because I've been on TV don't mean I can't be homeless tomorrow. You know what I mean? So it's like you have to make sure that you prepare yourself for life and not try to put on this facade like, oh, I'm all well, let me get this Maybach, let me get this chain. And it's like, we as African Americans, we show our money and we have to learn how to invest our money and save our money and not just continue to spend it to where we don't have anything when it's...
And nothing to show for. Yeah, exactly.
That's the grind and the hustle that actors and entertainers have to go through. I mean, some people think, oh, athletes go through this. They got to practice. They got to go through this. But actors and entertainers, they go through the same thing. And then I'm learning more and more about that as I sit down with actors like yourself. Talk about current projects right now, and specifically the Puff Daddy project.
Oh.
Well, I've been campaigning to play Puffy. They're doing a Tupac and Biggie crime drama. And definitely been campaigning to portray him. This is somebody that, you know, when I got into the music business as a manager, like, I emulated him. So I don't feel like I have to perpetrate to play him. Like, I'm already, I took on just his style of business as far as his hustle mentality. Like, I took on that as a youngster. And so people called me a young Puffy, you know, young Puff Daddy. So it was not, I feel like this is a role I prepared for my whole life. So that, you know, if it's God's intention for me to have this role, which I hope so, I definitely would do it justice. And I think that people get the chance to see me play Curtis Blow. Like, now they're believers of that I can play, you know, like I'm playing Corrupt as well, but also, you know, Puffy. So if it's meant to happen, it'll happen, and I definitely think that I know it'll be a great project, and I definitely want to do him justice.
Corrupt. Yeah. I could, now that you said it, I was like, dang.
They like, you could play everybody. Yeah, I'll play this.
I'm like, no, okay.
Give us your Puff Daddy impression right now.
Please.
Oh, I'm going to Puff
Daddy.
Putting
on the spot right now.
Sleep is forbidden. While you sleeping, they out here working. We making money. Take that. You know, it's Bad Boy for life, baby.
I just need him to tell me to go get a cheesecake. Remember that?
Go get a cheesecake. Go walk and get me a cheesecake.
Making the band, dang, okay.
Gosh, making the band. What was your favorite? I think, what is one, when we're talking about Puff Daddy, what is one thing that you admire about him the most?
Is that that when he lost his job at Uptown Records, that he sat in his room in a house he said he had, in a house that he didn't know how he was going to afford. He just bought a house he couldn't afford, and he was like, what am I going to do now? What am I going to do now? Because it was at a point to where his mouth got him in trouble. He wanted to be the boss. Mm-hmm. And it was like, what am I going to do now? And it's like, am I going to sit and I'm going to complain about it, mope about it? Or am I going to get up and make some things happen? And so with him, you know, being the person that he is, he had people that believed in him, like Clive Davis, that I won't misquote me, but I believe that Clive Davis was one that helped him, you know, fund Bad Boy. So, you know, being a person that just didn't give up and you didn't take no for an answer, like, that's what I like about him, is that he's a go-getter and he didn't just make his money by just, you know, sleeping. He actually only sleeps 4 to 5 hours and he gets the job done. He works. He's hoarse. He's promoting Ciroc. He's promoting his tequila line. Like, he's just a hustler.
Yeah.
And there's no one that I see that's out-hustling him right now. And that's what it is. It's like people will say I'm one of the hardest working men in show business. You know, there's other people like Kevin Hart, other people, but it's just like those are the people that you constantly have to work. So even if you don't see them, they're working. And yes, that's for me. It's like, I want to constantly be working even when you don't see me.
Mm.
And the thing is not just being busy doing something, but busy doing nothing, but busy doing something to make a difference for my life and other people's lives.
That's like that Drake song.
Which one?
You never see me out, I'm always working.
Okay, Raina.
I'm musically challenged, but got I know the lyrics that today.
All right, favorite flavor of Ciroc?
Yes.
I'm not really a drinker, but what I do like, I like the apple and the green apple and another one. Is it cherry?
Red berry? They got
red berry.
They
do have cherry, though.
Yeah, I normally do cherry.
Didn't like, they have a new
flavor? I'll get a bottle of Ciroc, and it'll sit in my house for like I'll sip it, and now it'll be in my house for a year. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, so people come over, drink, hey, man, get some Ciroc, because it's just...
It'll be here for a while.
Right, I'm not a drinker, but, you know, I'll every now and then. But.
Yeah, definitely.
What do you do for fun outside of
you don't drink.
What I do for fun, I haven't done this in a while, but I like to play video games.
What's your favorite
Madden
video?
2K? To NBA 2K.
Okay.
But I'll play like some Phase 10, or I'll play Scrabble. Scrabble's my thing. In my house, I was the king of Scrabble. So my mom, she was like, she wasn't too happy.
You know, there's like Scrabble tournaments, right? Like real life, that's a real life thing. Would you ever get submitted into that?
I might, you know, because some people know they know some words that I don't know.
I'm like, is that a word? No.
I'm like, is that a word? Like, you got to study dictionary with them. If I do that, I got to study dictionary.
Definitely.
I think you should totally do it.
Yeah, I'm going to do it.
Before we go into our topics, talk about your comedic background.
Yeah.
You're pretty funny.
Definitely.
I started doing comedy, I want to say about four years ago. And, you know, I have friends who are comedians, and so I've always been around it. And I was like, maybe one day. But I didn't think I was funny. But I just always watched Eddie Murphy Raw, Delirious. That was my Delirious is my favorite Eddie Murphy stand-up. And so I was like, one day I'm going to do it. So one day I decided to do it. I was scared. I was scared, man. My heart was beating out my chest. And I almost ran out the building because I was like, they call my name, I'm going to run.
Where was this? In L.A. or in
D.C.? This was in Sherman Oaks. This is here. Out here.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
And it was an open mic. And I was like, man, I was nervous. I went up there and I did about almost 10 minutes my first time. And from that, I was like, cool. And it's still a lot of learning, still a process to go through because you have your good shows and bad shows. And so I definitely, you know, have a lot of learning to do as a student of the game. And they say you're not really a real comedian until like your 7 to 8 year maybe in doing it. And you it's still like 13 when it's like, okay, now you're a bona fide comedian. So I have used that to better myself as an actor, so on the comedic side. So I would say I'm a comedic actor. Mm-hmm. More than a comedian.
Gotcha.
But I'm definitely working to that. But like Ron G is definitely a good friend of mine and, you know, mentor, and, you know, Alex Thomas. Like those guys that, you know, will give me the opportunity. Like I opened up for Michael Collier and I bombed. And he was like, what happened? I was like, I don't know. I don't know. So it was just like, and that was in Maverick Flack. And you know, Crenshaw don't play.
Oh.
So you got to be funny.
Dang. I've never been there, but yeah,
you better be funny.
It's like a tough crowd.
Yeah. Yeah. we'll make sure to keep up with you. Where are you going to post your new or all of your upcoming events? Is it on your website?
Yeah, on my Instagram, Facebook, and also we're finishing up a faith-based film called The Price of Fame, and it's a Christian-based film about the industry.
Oh, wow.
You know, sometimes you'll compromise your faith for fame and fortune. Is all about talking about the casting couch and just everything that people talk about and goes on in the industry without giving too much away.
I'm excited for that.
I'm looking forward to that. That sounds interesting. We don't have a lot of, like, you know, a lot of different topics in movies. It's like the same thing. Seriously. I'm like, is Hollywood running out of ideas? No. Yes. I'll be looking out for that.
But this next idea, I think, is a really good one. Do you like Disney movies?
Yeah.
So Donald Glover is actually going to be playing Simba
in
the new Lion King
reboot. I love Lion King.
Right? It was interesting.
Kuna Matata.
He came out. James Earl Jones, he'll have his role as Mufasa. The release date hasn't come out yet.
So it's going to be a cartoon movie?
Yes, cartoon movie. He's going to play Simba's voice.
Wow.
So, and then...
Does he sing?
That was my question to you. How do you think he'll sound when he sings Hakuna Matata?
I like that song Redbone by Childish Gambino.
He's a singer too. He's a singer, actor.
I know he rap, but yeah.
Singer, actor, rapper.
I think he's going to kill.
How do you think he's going to sound singing Hakuna Matata? Do you think he's going to have a little swag
to it? Was it Jason Weaver or was it the guy from Home Improvement that was Simba the first time?
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Okay.
Oh my God!
I was playing games with that stuff today. She knowing Drake lyrics and actors' names.
You would be so proud of me.
It's
that
weird though because in Hakuna Matata, I might be wrong, but I thought Simba was he was young and then he grows into. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Maybe
he might not even
be so
singing
talented.
It.
Adult Simba was Matthew Broderick did the voice for adult Simba.
There we go.
But Jonathan Taylor Thomas did do Simba.
Yeah, he did Young Simba.
Young Simba.
But see, that's right. I'm glad they're getting James Earl Jones because nobody else can do Simba.
No.
You disobeyed me.
Oh, yes.
Nobody can do him. Yeah. I wonder who the rest of the cast... We haven't released the rest of the cast members, but
I can't wait.
Who's Nala and who's
I know play. New Day from the WWE wants to be the hyenas.
Ooh.
If you could pick a Disney movie to play in, which Disney movie would it be? It can't be Lion King because clearly it's here. But what Disney movie would you be in?
Mermaid. Because I like the crab.
Little Mermaid.
Little Mermaid.
What was the crab? Sebastian. Yeah, it was Sebastian.
Because I had to think off the top because I'm like, you got me thinking Disney movies. I'm like, you know, there's Beauty and the Beast with Disney, right?
Yes. Beauty and the Beast came out.
It's coming out.
You should give me a multiple choice. You couldn't give me...
any Disney movie that you think of.
Sebastian was like... Under the sea. Easy for me.
That's what I was like. Come on, give us a little Sebastian.
Oh my God.
Mario.
What do you think you would be?
Oh, Disney movie. Put me as Princess Tiana.
If we're the Princess Tiana, or Princess and the Frog cast coming out right now, you're Princess Tiana, obviously. Who would he be? Prince? What other?
No, the prince was like foreign. He was like, Okay.
Of course, my Disney movie is Moana. Hello.
Oh, no. She's Moana obsessed.
Obsessed. Have you seen that recent?
I heard it's good with The Rock.
With The Rock.
Yeah. I think he's just like because of The Rock.
No.
She tells you The Rock, she's like, The Rock.
No, I'm half Samoan, so it's like my culture, you feel me? And The Rock's like my uncle,
She knows the theme song of Moana. She loves Moana.
I heard it was really good, though.
So, guys, if you're watching this and you decide to do Little Mermaid, we have Sebastian in the building with us right now, so.
Hey.
Hook him up.
Also, you know Ariana Grande and John Legend, speaking of Disney movies, redid the Beauty and the Beast song. It used to be done by Celine Dion and
Peeble Bryson.
Yes, so Ariana Grande and John Legend just remade it.
Oh,
so
what?
If you want to listen, just go check it out. Yeah.
Can you say Mavin?
I say no? And I told you in my sleep I could sing. I'm a singer in heart, but God just didn't bless me with the voice.
In the shower, I bet you though, you know.
Now, I'll be singing I'll do the karaoke.
Go-to song, like if you could sing to karaoke, you had to perform.
Enter the, down a bit of knees and enter the road.
We gotta go to karaoke one time.
Dang, I'm bending knees.
It's not
like,
a game.
That's my song.
It's not a game. Listen, I mean, I can sing, but I have the whole showmanship of it. They be like, oh, yeah, just give this, whatever. Like, I don't even care about I can't sing anymore. They like, this dude, he has it.
Entertaining to watch.
I'll be lip singing, like, just lip singing.
And she low-key probably wanted to be in the New Edition cast.
Yeah.
Like, wanted to be one of them, huh?
Yeah, I'd have been like,
you should have just saw the show.
I know.
I wanted to perform. I was mad they didn't have Curtis Book perform. I was like, come on, man.
I know.
If I ruled the world, I'd be the king on throw. See, I'm spot. Right.
They should have. They need to have you on Lip Sync Battle then.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be funny.
I gotta holler at LL. I was like, what's up, man? Can I get on?
Yeah. yeah. you know, lip sync battle. So you don't have to really
make it happen,
but you just...
You're gonna
you
make
know?
It happen. See, you know people. Y'all know people, so they make that happen.
Okay.
For
you, you know?
Okay,
lip sync battle.
We got somebody here, too. So make it happen. Next.
Because I did one, too. I did a lip sync challenge to friends, and I did 112 song.
Which one?
I'm a player. You remember that song? I'm a player.
Sing it.
Now you got to be singing.
I'm like, sing it.
You got to embarrass me on here.
No.
It's like, I'm a player. I really need to know. I'm not trying to lock you down, but I'm not trying to lock you down until I'm ready. Right now, I just need time to grow.
Come on, you got to sing it.
I know. Nah, he hits high notes. Damn, he hits some high notes and stuff. I got... Listen,
I was on a roll, too. If I would have thought that, I would have
been listen, if I could sing, man.
Okay.
I'm just not going to embarrass myself.
Not this time. Next time we have him on the show, though, we're going to sing. It's okay.
I might have Luke James here, and he's going to sing behind me.
Oh, yeah. Next or nah. Speaking of next or nah, our next or nah segment, I don't know if anybody has seen it, but it's a video that has gone viral. It's hashtag Hurt Bae. Mm. So if you guys don't know what it is, basically this couple sat down together. They were a couple previously. They got together to talk about what went wrong in their relationship. Clearly infidelity was one of the things that went wrong, but here's a clip we're going to show right now.
What did you do?
I did everything.
Like what?
I had sex with other girls. I did everything.
Look at that pain. Look at the pain.
She's so pretty.
See. So, yes, basically the entire video is just them talking about, you know, how they got together and everything that happened. So, I want to know, guys, what do you think? Should couples come together and figure out, or ex-couples come back together, see what went wrong in a relationship right now?
Melvin, you go first.
You know, to get a better understanding, to get closure, you know? Is that the next thing?
Are you familiar with this video?
I've heard about it, but I haven't seen it. That was the first time I saw it.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I mean, I think most times people know why the relationship didn't work out. I think if you're doing something for closure, then cool. I mean, they may have done it for their reason, but, like, I don't advise people to broadcast this, like, whatever they went through. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it should be dealt with.
Privately.
But I think that most time, whether it's the man or the woman, like, you should just own up to what you did, apologize, so that person can move on. Because sometimes, you know, women will go through their hurt to where they're not able to heal from it because they feel like, well, was it me? What did I do? And sometimes it's not the woman. It's the men, or it could not be the man. It could be the woman. And you just have to have that closure to where, like, you're like, yeah, I was just not in the right place. You know, no excuses. I did you wrong. I apologize. You know, will you forgive me? And asking that alone will be able to help her mend and be able to love again. Because it's like, once you've been hurt, it's like, I ain't trusting another dude.
Right.
All dudes are like, and then when you end up messing up for the next person, who the dude may be straight. Yeah. But now, because of your hurt situation, your situation, now you checking his phone, he ain't doing nothing. You know, now you make fun about surprise he had for you because you didn't really check his phone.
Gotta let that hurt go, right. Baby girl. Gotta let it go.
Raina.
I'm trying to figure out, like, what was this? Was this a study or is this like a series? Like,
she wanted to sit down and...
Oh, she wanted to do all this publicly.
Yes. Mm. And sat him down and they...
And they just recorded and then shared and went viral. And now people don't even know her name. She's just known as Herbe.
From what I read, she's the one who...
doing a show or something. I heard something's coming out of it. Like, I don't know if somebody reached out to her about...
Well, I mean, this is interesting, though.
Oprah somebody? Or?
Probably, because social media...
Get them Oprah coins, girl.
It's just getting people...
Hype.
Famous off of this. Like, we talked about the Cash Me Outside girl. She has...
She got a publicist now.
A publicist, everything.
I heard somebody say something. But I don't know what that's about.
But basically, she was on Dr. Phil, and she was just like, "Catch me outside. How about that?"
She was basically popping off at the audience,
And she's just all over the place. And then this one, Hurt Bae, she's all over the internet as well. And you said that she has different appearances, right? Or what is she? Hurt Bae? What's going on with Hurt Bae?
I don't know. Hurt Bae is just trending. I was on Twitter yesterday, and it was, I think, what's trending was Boot Bae. And somebody had wrote, it was like some boot company, and they're like, you know, this is the shoe that won't cheat on you, like Boupe won't cheat on you.
Oh my God.
So, you know, like companies are picking it up. Everybody's like going on with these trends and it's just, you know, becoming bigger and bigger.
Well, I mean, personally, I think this is, I'm more private, so I wouldn't put anything like this, especially if I was cheated on by somebody. Like, you know, it's rather keep it to each other. I wouldn't broadcast this.
Yeah, I'm not letting nobody know that they cheated on me.
If you guys were in a relationship.
Girl, no, I ended things because I just wasn't into it anymore. Things just didn't work out.
Question for both of you. So if you guys were in a relationship, how much is too much for you to post on social media about your relationship?
Everything. Just kidding. I don't like posting like too. I don't. All you'll get is a picture that maybe we're together, and then if we're not, then the picture might not be on the page no more, and that's kind of all you get. I hate when I go on to social media and I be seeing people who are in relationships write these long paragraph posts. I'm like trying to scroll just to go down my timeline about what happened, what we're wrong. I'm like, I don't really need to know this much, but not just me. What about you?
Yeah, I think me and your personal issues that you're going through, like, you shouldn't definitely post about it. Sometimes, like, people, you will use social media as their, like, their therapy session.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we will get caught up in it, and we'll feed into it, and we're like, wait a minute, we're giving too much. People don't need to know about this. It's different when you're in the public's eye, and it's already, like, you really don't have that much privacy. So it's kind of like you got to just be careful what you put out there because you will feel like that's your venting period or your venting area you go to. But you still got to be like, just talk to your friends if you need to really vent. But sometimes people are like, well, no, I got to vent on social media. I got to tell the whole world. And it's just like you don't have to because you can't get that back once you put it out there sometimes. And you may, like, you be like, oh, he did this, this, and that. Or she did this, and that. And then y'all cool again now, but you didn't, it made her or him look like a jerk. And now you got to. We backtrack.
It's crazy to see, too, that some celebrities are, you know, loving to vent what they feel. Like, they're the type of people that do let so many people knowing, like, what's going on or how they feel about certain things to the point where it's like, do I really need to know?
Like Chris Brown
much?
And Karrueche?
Yeah, perfect, you know?
I heard there's something about that, like...
She hit him with a restraining order. Pretty bad for Chris Brown right now. I mean, he does have a tour coming up, but I mean,
I will always love Chris Brown. I always love Chris Brown as an artist, but I hate when I be seeing him in the public eye because I'm like, I think 2005 Chris Brown. I can't believe 2005 Chris Brown is 2017 Chris Brown.
And I mean, that's the thing. It's interesting. You know, I think people have to choose who you have in your circle, and that's why for me. I definitely try to make sure that who is in my circle are not yes men. They're keep me humble and don't matter. Because it's like you'll get to a point to where you'll reach a certain peak in your career and you'll let it get to your head, and you really can't. I'm not saying that that's what he's doing. I just think that a lot of celebrities in general, they just forget that they are in the public eye and they can't do certain things that you may would do if you weren't in the public eye. And you know, it's definitely a difference with the Chris Brown I met many years ago to who he is now, and he grew up in this business, so it's hard for a kid, you know.
Yes,
he's just now trying to live his life and not being judged. But unfortunately, you are a celebrity, so you're always going to be judged, no matter of your past, because he can have done whatever he did, but then somebody else of another color have done what they did, and they're not judged for it on a consistent basis. But he is, because he's an African American entertainer, and that's
so true. Childish Gambino and his team who do FX, they played on this same idea with Atlanta.
Yeah, the Justin Bieber thing.
The Justin Bieber. It was like Nobody Beats the Biebs episode where they had a actor who played Justin Bieber, but he was black, or supposed to be Justin Bieber, but he was black, and he was doing all the things that Justin Bieber has done in the public eye. And he was forgiven, though, on the show. Like, he did all these crazy things, but everybody was like...
Yeah, he apologized.
Oh, he apologized, and it was okay. But he was black. So people were, you know, thinking, well, maybe this is just trying to let us know, like, okay, what if Justin Bieber was black? Will we be so forgiving to the Justin Bieber that we see now that can just apologize so quick and be forgiven? So it's crazy when you think of it like that.
Yeah. Was there a certain time in your life where you instantly... decided to be private? Like, have you went through something that if you might have outed it on social media or through a conversation with people you don't know where you just like, okay, I messed up, I need to be private now? Or have you always just been a private type of person?
I mean, certain things you just have to be private about, but I think, like, you know, I've been more transparent in the past couple of years, like, you know, like my father, not to bring it to the sad sad place, but 3 years ago my father committed suicide, and that was really hard for me to talk about. But I felt like it was necessary to let people know, like, this is what happens, and this is how I got through it. And it was definitely the support of my friends. Like, my friends came to my aid. Like, they were, like, my lifesavers. And in life, you're going to go through certain things, and it's all about how you get up from those situations. Mm. And I could have kept that to myself, but it wouldn't have been a healing situation for me. So me talking about it and telling other people about it was more therapeutic. But they also saw that he is human. And you never know who's going through the situation. That's and true. People are maybe not as strong as I was or didn't have this support system that I did. So you never know what they may have went through. So I definitely now am a little bit open about more things than I would be. But it's still certain things you got to be private about. But like you talked about, far as going through the financial situation with the job and everything like that. Like, I would have been private about that years before. But now, being transparent has helped a lot of other people that get through that situation, because then I'm like, oh, okay, he's gone through it. Okay, I don't have to be this person that just now leave my job and now not have anything to fall back on. And like, people hear me like, I'm going through the same thing, or I've gone through it, and I thank you for that, because it wasn't about me. It was about making sure that I let other people know that you can survive from situations you've gone through, and you don't have to jump off the ledge or go out there and fall short of what you could be great at.
So you use your social media not to rant or to vent, but to just be life lessons to other people who, you know, might be going through the same thing.
Yeah, my goal is to be a blessing to others. And whether it's by, you know, using my pain to bless, to help heal somebody else, that's important. And so it's just been great to just the feedback and, you know, even starting to work with different organizations that have been able to deal with similar situations that I've even gone through or talked about.
What organizations are those?
Like, I'm starting to work with the Suicide and Prevention Organization. Mm. So they go out and they talk to different people that have think about suicide or who's had a family member that's gone through it. And so it's just important to make sure that something that is important to me, that I make sure that I share my story with other people. Because if you're not able to help anybody, being an entertainer or being just a celebrity is not the ideal thing for me. Like, I want to make sure that I make a difference in this world. And using the TV and film as my foundational platform to do that, then that's great. But I don't want that to all that people see, oh, he's a great actor. Okay, that's cool. But I want to be a great person, a great leader, a great mentor, someone that you can have your kids look up to and be like, oh, okay, you can not be like me, but go in that direction of being better. You know, it's always people like, I want to be like Michael Jordan. There's already a Michael Jordan. Right. Be like yourself, but be better.
That is... Yes, Melvin. Yes.
Just dropping knowledge tonight.
Yeah. I try.
Jeez, man.
Any mamas watching tonight, they're like, I want you to be like Melvin.
Like MJ.
Like MJ.
MJ on TV.
The new MJ over man. Here, okay?
Whoa, I mean, geez, that was our show. Honestly, freaking time like flies by.
Time does fly by. Oh my God, like, I can't believe it.
Seriously. But I'm so happy we were able to sit in with you, to learn about your career and all of, you know, your inspirational stories. That's awesome. We learned a lot about the acting industry as well. So,
and we can't wait to see the upcoming projects too. Yes. So
definitely.
Yeah.
Guys, go ahead.
Oh yeah, and please let us know one more time the upcoming project so people can keep an eye out.
Finishing up my faith-based film called The Price of Fame that I wrote, directed, and produced, and I'm in as well. And I'm gonna be playing corrupt in the DP for G Life. DP
Dog Pal for life.
Sorry. Yeah.
I have to ask you. My song from Corrupt is "We Can Freak It."
Freak if you want to.
I love that song.
Yes. Oh, the Corruption.
Yes. Right? Yeah. I love that song. Okay, so when you said Corrupt, I was like,
he was the one that actually picked me to play him. I did a campaign.
I see you, and I see when you said it, I was like, dang, he do look like Corrupt. So I can't wait to see that. I'm excited.
Yeah, we shot a promo like 2 years ago, so you know we're getting ready to get the script together.
That is so exciting. So yes, we'll be on the lookout for that, and let everybody know where they can find you, too.
Melvin Jackson Jr., Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, the brand's real.
Yes, and then I am Raylan T. You can find me at Raylan Taren on Instagram and Twitter. And
And I'm Raina LA. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Raina_LA. Make sure you follow things Black Hollywood Live at BHL Online on Instagram and Twitter. And also subscribe to our YouTube channel. Tune in with us every Thursday, 6 p.m. on Next with your rays of sunshine. See you guys next week.
Bye.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.